honor of the season, I thought it would be appropriate if I began this morning by telling a story. I'll let you figure out what season it is. Fred and Dave decided to go deer hunting. And they decided they were going to get up early in the morning, and they were going to go deep into the woods, and they were going to find the two biggest bucks, one for each of them. So they got up early in the morning, and they went deep into the woods, deeper than they'd ever gone before. And they soon realized that they were lost. Dave and Fred were a little worried because the trees were so thick they couldn't even see where the sun was. They didn't know which way was north, which way was south. They didn't know which way they had come from or which way they had to go. So Dave and Fred started to panic. But Dave said, "Fear not, Fred. I know what to do in this situation. I heard that when you are lost, you must fire three times into the air and people will come and find you." So Dave shot three times into the air and they waited for an hour. But nobody came. So they decided, "We're going to shoot three more times into the air and wait." And they did just that, and nobody came. They did this off and on every hour. They shot three times into the air, anticipating that somebody would come and find these two lost hunters. But nobody came, and darkness was setting upon them. Dave looked at Fred and said, "This time it's got to work, because I'm down to my last three arrows." Well, we're glad that none of our hunters got lost yesterday. Glenn, welcome back. Well, I'm thankful that you made it back safely, Glenn. I'm thankful that I haven't heard of any major tragedy that has occurred so far this year. I'm thankful for the deer hunters that have made it home safely. But I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful for my home. As it gets colder here, I'm very thankful that I have a warm house to go into at night. And I'm thankful that in that warm home, I have a full pantry of food. Got plenty to eat when I get into that warm home at night. You see, this is the time of year that we spend a lot of time thinking about what we're thankful for. Because later this, well, next week, on Thursday, we will be celebrating, what day? Not holiday, oh, Thanksgiving. Yes, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. Now, I have some mixed feelings about Thanksgiving. Now, don't get me wrong, I love that people come together. I love that it's a chance to get together with friends and family and to enjoy bounteous foods like turkey and ham and dressing. I love these things. I love that we can get together and share what we are thankful for with our friends and family. I love this family time. But the thing that I don't like about Thanksgiving is that we need to have such a day to start with. Why is it that we need to have a special holiday to give thanks to God for what God has given to us? Why is it that we don't do it every day of our lives? Why do we need a special day? Why do we need our nation to tell us this is the day when you give thanks? We should be living a life of gratitude. Our thankfulness should come out each and every day of our lives. And today I would like to look at Psalm 105 verses 1 through 15. And I would like to lift out a couple concepts from this passage. I'd like to present to you my two R's of giving thanks every day. And those two R's are reciting and reflecting the thanks that we have for God, what God has done for us. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to turn with me to Psalm 105, verses 1 through 15. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wonderful works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wonderful works He has done, His miracles and the judgments He has uttered. O offspring of His servant Abraham, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is mindful of His covenant forever, of the word that He commanded for a thousand generations, the covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. when they were few in number, of little account, and strangers in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, "Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm." So my first R, to remember the blessings of God, the first step in giving thanks every day is reciting the blessings that God has given to us. I'll read one more time, verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples." We are called to do just that. We are called to make known to the people of the world God's wondrous deeds. To make known to the people what God has done. Not just the things that God has done to the people in the Bible, but the things that God has done to us and for us as well. The things that God is continuing to do for us. Now, if you think about our typical conversation, when we meet a friend, even out here in the lobby before we started church today, think of your typical conversation. What did you say to one another? You come together and you say, "Hello, let me tell you about my week. How are you? Tell me about your week." We talk about one another. And we come forward with this conversation, and what we really do is we talk about ourselves more than anything else, don't we? We talk about what we did this past week, who we saw, where we went. Let me ask you this. Do you know what the most common word in the English language is? It's I. I is the most used word in the English language. And it shows in our conversations because we come together and we talk about ourselves. The normal structure of a conversation is I come to you, say I'm meeting Lowell. Hello, Lowell. Let me tell you about my week, and then you can tell me about your week. That's a normal conversation. This is kind of what we come to expect in the United States. And it seems to me that whenever we come together, what we're trying to do is really to build ourselves up in the other person's mind. I don't tell you about all the bad things I did this week. I tell you about the good things. Guess what? Low eyeball to 298 the other day. I didn't tell you it took me 3 games to get that high. Whenever we are in our normal conversations as human beings, often it is to build ourselves up. Really, we're bragging on ourselves, if you want to be honest about it. And we're taught from an early age that bragging is bad. We're not supposed to brag about ourselves. We're supposed to be humble. Well, today I'd like to shift up these normal conversations a little bit. It's something else that we can put into practice. And that is, we should be bragging on God. Whenever we come together with other people, when we make conversation with one another, we should be having dialogue about what God is doing in our lives. The Apostle Paul said, "If I boast, let me boast in Christ." So if we're going to be bragging on anybody, we should be bragging on God. We should not be ashamed of this kind of bragging. This is a good kind of bragging. Telling other people what God has done in our lives and what God is doing through us. This is okay. Now, I'm not ashamed to stand up here today and tell you that God has blessed me in many, many ways. I'm not ashamed to say that God has blessed me by giving me a good and loving family. I even like my in-laws, people. That's not common. I love my family. I've been blessed with my family. God has blessed me with a loving wife. Somebody who has been able to support me over the last 3 years because I've been, attending seminary. Not a lot of money coming in while you're in seminary. There's a lot of money going out. And I'm thankful for my wife and her willingness to support me during that time. I'm very thankful that God has blessed us with enough finances that we can afford our own home, to afford vehicles that can take us from place to place. God has truly blessed us in this way. God has blessed us with enough finances to afford these things. And God has also blessed me with a loving church family. A group of people that will support me, that will care for me, that will allow me to try different things. And I am very thankful that God has blessed me with all of you. Now to the average person, it might sound like I'm bragging a little bit. Like I'm bragging about myself. Look at me. I've got a house, I've got a car, I've got decent health. But I'm not bragging about myself. I am bragging about God. Because these things that I just mentioned to you, most of them are not things that I earned on my own. When I brag about my family, people, I had no choice in what family I was born into. That is purely God. God has blessed me with a good family. It's nothing that I can boast about on my own. When I'm bragging on my family, I am bragging on God. God has given me these people that I can love and be loved. And I am very thankful for that. So whenever I come to you and I tell you these things that I have been blessed by in my life, I am bragging on God. I am reciting the things that God has given to me. And in doing so, I am giving thanks to God, making known His wondrous deeds in my life. I'm making them known to you, and I'm making them known to God. And that is a way that I praise Him. Now there's other ways that we can praise God as well. Other ways that we can recite the wondrous deeds that God has done in our lives, aside from just having conversations with one another. Now if you're more musical than I am, and that doesn't take much to be more musical than I am. If you're more musical than I am, you have the ability to share the love of God, the blessings that God has given to you, through music. If we look at today's scripture, if we look in verse 2, it says, "Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wonderful work." If you are musically inclined, or even if you're not, we can praise God, we can give Him thanks through the gift of music. Now, if we look throughout the Bible, we can find time and time again that the people in the Bible do just this. They do sing to God. And they do brag on God as well. We can see these things coming up all the time. In the book of Exodus, when Moses crosses the Red Sea, we find a section of scripture that's called the Song of Moses. God was singing, or Moses was singing to God, telling of all the wondrous acts that God had done through him for the people. And just a few verses later, we find the Song of Miriam. Miriam is singing to God, praising Him, giving Him thanks for the deliverance of the people from the Egyptians. As we turn into the New Testament, in Luke, we can find the story of Zechariah. Zechariah was mute for a time. But then whenever he got his voice back, what did he do? He sang. He sang to God of the wonderful gift that He had been given, and his son, John the Baptist. When Mary is told that she is going to have a child, when she's going to have this baby boy, she sings. The largest book in the Bible is Psalms, which is made up of psalms of rejoice, lament, and wisdom. These are all ways in which we can give thanks back to God. We can sing to God. The people throughout the New Testament, or the Old Testament, time and time again, were doing these actions. They were bragging on God, and they were singing songs to Him. As we find in later on in this psalm, that's exactly what they're doing, is they are bragging on God. They're telling of His wondrous deeds. They're telling of the way that He delivered them from Israel or from Egypt. How He helped them to cross the Red Sea. How He delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh. People, this is the way that we can give thanks to God. By bragging on God and by singing to God. Make known His wondrous works to all peoples. Share what God has done to you, to those you have come in contact with. So this is my first R for giving thanks more regularly. We must recite God's blessings. Now my second R for remembering God's blessings, for giving thanks on a regular occasion, is that we must reflect on God's blessings. If we look at verse 5, it says, "Remember the wonderful works He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He has uttered." When we remember how God has blessed us, when we reflect back upon the things that God has done for us, we must dig deep into these blessings to really understand them sometimes. I encourage you not to just take them at face value. Now, a few minutes ago, I talked about reciting God's blessings. And that is just saying them out loud to one another, letting other people know how God has blessed you. But when we reflect upon the things that God has blessed us with, we dig deeper and we ask difficult questions. We ask questions like, why? Why did God choose to bless me in this way? And this is when we get out our journals, we get out our diaries, and we start writing things out, and we ask these questions. Why has God blessed me? Now, I find myself reflecting upon these things at strange times. I really do. I think God brings them into my mind to kind of keep me honest at times. And one such time was this past Friday. Sonia and I went to a restaurant in Harrisonburg. I won't name the place because I'm going to give them a little bit of a hard time right here. But we didn't get the best service at this restaurant. We went in. It was soon after 5 o'clock. And we knew where we were going. We knew what we wanted to eat when we got there. We had already planned it out because we were kind of creatures of habit, I guess. So we go in, and we were seated immediately. And we sat down, and we waited. We waited probably 5 minutes or so until the waitress comes up to us and says, "Is there something you'd like to drink?" Well, we usually get water with lemon. We're creatures of habit, and we're extremely cheap. So yes, we knew what we wanted to drink, so we put in our drink orders. But she didn't ask anything else. She didn't take our meal order at that time. Well, this young lady was gone for probably another 5 minutes. I think she probably had to go out and, you know, use the old hand pump to pump the water by herself and maybe find a lemon tree and squeeze some lemon for it. It took her another 5 minutes or so until she got back with her drinks. And when she did come back, she said, "Would you be interested in having an appetizer today?" Yes, we would. We came in knowing exactly what we wanted for an appetizer. We wanted the nachos. They had half-price appetizers from 5 to 6 o'clock, so we wanted to go to this place for this reason. So we put in our order for our nachos. She didn't ask what we wanted for our main course, for our entree, so she said, "Well, what can I get you for an appetizer? Nachos? Okay, thank you." And she was gone. And I'm like, we'll get that later. So she goes and puts in the order for the nachos, and another 5 minutes later she comes back and says, "Have you decided what you'd like for an entree?" Lady, I knew before I walked in this door what I wanted for an entree. He could have taken my order 15 minutes ago. But let me put it in here. Yes, go ahead. I'll give you my order. So she took the order, went back, put in the order, had to wait on the cooks to prepare the meal, and then by the time she finally brought it out to us, we'd probably been there for half an hour or so. So I sat there thinking, this is just kind of crummy service. It's really not the best service I've ever had. And I don't mean to be real hard on the waitress, but as I sat there thinking about how crummy the service was, I'm like, "My goodness, Kevin, how blessed are you?" Reflect upon that. I might have had to wait 30 minutes to get my food that day, but you know what? I got food. I did eat. I had nowhere else to go that afternoon, that evening. We had no plans. We were just going to sit around the house later on. What was my hurry? As I reflected upon the blessings that God had given to me, I started thinking about, you know, Kevin, you don't go hungry. And if you do go hungry, you don't go hungry for long. But did you know that there are 27,000 children that die every day of malnourishment? 27,000. Sometimes I think, you know, I wish I had more money. I wish I could afford certain things. There'd be a lot of things I'd like to have. But then I start to think, I reflect upon the blessings that God has given to me. And I realize that half of the world lives off of less than $2 a day. $2 a day. Who here could live off of $2 a day? Now we probably all know people, we probably work with people that complain about their job nonstop. We have these people that come in on Monday morning and they're just bumming around. They don't want to be there. They're ready for Friday. They've already got their plans made. And they just kind of work for the weekend. Their sole purpose for being there is to make some money and get out of there as soon as possible so they can go do something fun on the weekend. We all know people like this. But there are over 1 billion people worldwide that are unemployed. 1 billion people. And I bet you that these 1 billion people, a large number of them would be very happy with the jobs that we Americans are unhappy with. They would probably jump at the opportunity to milk cows or to clean gutters or do anything that we might think is unappealing. I mentioned the milk cows. I'm from a dairy farm. I don't mean to criticize anybody milking cows. It's a good job. But we also complain about things like health care. Who pays too much for health care? Anybody here pay too much for health insurance? Yeah, you don't want to raise your hands now, do you? We complain about our health insurance. We complain about waiting in long lines at the doctor's office or at the pharmacy. We complain because we have to wait to see a doctor, and then when we get the bill, we think we're charged too much. But did you know that 200,000 people die every day from treatable diseases? Things that we here in America would never think about dying from. 200,000 people. So when you think about it, we really don't have that much to complain about, do we? We have been truly blessed. We have been given so much, but yet we find small things to complain about in our lives. We must reflect upon the blessings that God has given to us, people. We must reflect upon these things. So why is it that God has blessed you and I with so many wonderful things, like health insurance, like health, like homes and cars, while so many people around the world are suffering? Why is it that God allows me to eat well while there is an orphan in Uganda that's dying and is suffering that will starve to death today? Is it because I'm a better person? Is it because I'm a better Christian than someone else that God has given me these blessings? Why does God choose to give me so many things while so much of the world is struggling? These are the hard questions that we must ask ourselves when we reflect upon the blessings that God has given to us. Because the reality is that God doesn't give us these blessings because we are better people or because we are better Christians. It's really hard to say why God gives us these things. If we look at the story of Job in the Old Testament, Job was described as a righteous man. But what happened to Job? Everything he had was taken away. His health, his possessions, his family were all taken from him. And when the people saw Job suffering, what did they think the problem was? They said, he must have sinned against God. Was that the case? No. And if you want another study, look at Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Jesus came to this earth and he was sinless. He was without sin, people. But he suffered more than most of us will ever suffer. He was persecuted. He was tortured. He was hung on a cross to die. Did God not love Jesus? Had Jesus done something wrong that God was punishing him for? No. It seems to me that sometimes the people that are the closest to God will suffer on this earth. And to tell you the truth, I don't know why. So for those of us whose biggest problem is having to wait 30 minutes for a meal on a Friday night, we must reflect upon these blessings. Thank God that He has given us so much. And we must think critically, why has God given these to us? And when we come to the realization that we don't know why God has given us so many things, the only thing that we are left to do is to give thanks. And say, thank you, God. I don't know why you have given these things to me, but I thank you for them. So that is my second R for giving thanks on a more regular basis. Reflecting upon God's blessings. So these are my two R's. Reciting and reflecting upon God's blessings. And these things should lead us into a time of giving more thanks to God. Giving God thanks more frequently in our lives. When we do these things, we will realize all that God has done for us. When we recite to one another how God is working in our lives, it helps us to remember how blessed we are. When we reflect critically that we are not deserving of the blessings that we have been given, when we think critically about these things and reflect upon them, we realize that it is only by the work of God that we have been blessed, that we have done nothing to deserve them. And then we are led to give thanks. And at this time, I would like to invite you all to do the same thing. I'd like to invite you all to reflect critically upon some of the gifts that God has given to you. I've asked the ushers to hand out these small leaves that artists cut out for us. And they say on them, this year I am thankful for. Then it leaves two lines. And we're going to take about 3 minutes. I'm going to have them go ahead and start distributing these. Take about 3 minutes to think critically about what you are thankful for this year. Don't just write down the first thing that comes to your mind, but think about it for a while. Write it down on this piece of paper and keep it in your Bibles. Keep it on your refrigerator. Keep it somewhere where you will see it every day of this week. And if you're going to be here next week, I invite you to bring them back next week and feel free to share it with those that you come in contact with. So we will take this time for you to reflect on the blessings that God has given to you. And then next week we will take time for you to recite the blessings that God has given to you. And I hope that we can move past this idea that Thanksgiving is just something that we do once a year. I hope to make the date of Thanksgiving obsolete. I hope that we can make every day a day of Thanksgiving, if we can live a life of gratitude. So let's take 3 minutes. Reflect upon what the Lord has given to you and give Him thanks. Amen.